They're brothers. They're plumbers.
Oh, no. Mario!
Luigi!
They're on the trail of a kidnapped princess. And a mystical meteorite.
It's incredible!
That gives anyone who possesses it the power to rule the universe.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that comes for the spectacle but stays for the AC. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Elon Blockbuster VHS Tape Muscat.
You're going home in a plain white clamshell box.
Vandy Beth Alpaca Glenn.
Alpaca knuckle sandwich for each of you.
And Lid Hot Pants Warner.
Kiss my hot pants.
Hello to all, and thank you for joining us for today's off-season special. We're looking back at all our favorite May to August releases with games and trivia all about summer blockbusters. Keeping track of points for us today is the Michael Bay of our podcast, Score Master Dan. Hi there, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. You know, as you said, it's starting to get a little hot here, especially up in the scoring booth. So I'm mostly here for the air conditioning and a cold drink. We also have those comfy chairs, so if I start to doze off, just have Dave poke me.
And making everything sound good is the John McTiernan of our podcast, Production Master Dave. Hi there, Dave.
A blockbuster. Let's go, lady. That thing goes off, it'll kill every living thing within a half a mile.
Well, then let's bust right into today's first game, a round of My Champion. That's the game where each one of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere in the world of popular culture, but we choose the battle those champions are fighting. Our season one champion himself, back for another match, Elon, who is your champion today?
Well, I thought I'd stack the deck by picking Marvel Comics' unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
New to our show, but a regular at our Patreon game shelf decathlons, Vandy, who is your champion today?
Charles Foster Kane from Citizen Kane.
And a regular riddle submitter for our home version segment, Lynn, who do you have for your champion?
Matt Hooper.
All three champions are locked in. Dan is going to serve as our judge today. So let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, who would best elude a killer robot sent from the future to murder them? All right, Elon, make the case for the unbeatable Squirrel Girl from Marvel Comics.
So, Doreen Green, a mild-mannered, not so mild-mannered, computer science student and now computer science TA, she deals with all sorts of Marvel Comics problems. And I think especially germane to this is that one of her best friends, Brian Drain, aka Brain Drain, is just a human brain in a robot body. Again, with the power of friendship, that's Squirrel Girl's deal, and computer science and problem solving. I think she'd really want to rely on her friends and get this problem solved. Everybody Squirrel Girl fights, even Kraven the Hunter, becomes her friend very quickly. So I think this is an open and shut case. Killer robot comes from the future. Doreen and Brian hash it out. And very soon, Squirrel Girl and Killer Robot are having probably a socially distanced picnic.
Thank you, Elon. And Vandy, how about Charles Foster Kane, Citizen Kane himself?
Well, it doesn't matter that the robot is from the future because Charles Foster Kane's story in Citizen Kane is told out of order. So he's already going to know that the robot is coming. And as for eluding it, he can just hop on his sled and sled away from the robot because nobody remembers that he owns a sled anyway.
Thank you, Vandy. And Lynn, make the case for the marine biologist from Jaws, Matt Hooper.
So he's an oceanographer who comes from a wealthy family. So he's got a lot of toys at his disposal. We already know he's got that big old fancy boat where he can track sharks. He also is a scuba diver, and we know that he's really good at hiding underneath coral reefs. So he can just kind of get in his shark cage, maybe hide out under his coral reef, wait for the killer shark to run away. I don't know. Hard to beat the rosebud sled.
Well, thank you, Lynn. Three very good arguments, but ultimately Dan is going to determine our winner.
So I do think of all of them, the one who's most likely to have a robot sent back in the future to kill them is probably Charles Foster Kane. And the fact that Kane didn't actually die is evidence that, of course, he managed to fight off that killer robot. You know, Matt Hooper, I like that he could just hide in the water because we all know robots cannot go in water because they would short out. Also, you know, there's a killer shark in that water, and maybe the shark, also a robot, maybe the robot shark would kill that. Seems possible. Although I would note that in the book, of course, Hooper actually does get eaten. I do think our winner, though, is going to be Doreen Green, the unbeatable squirrel girl. So because, as I said, she would just make friends with that robot. She can reprogram as a computer science student. She did that with Brian Drain. And of course, I think she actually has fought killer robots in the future sent by Dr. Doom. So I think our winner today is going to be the unbeatable squirrel girl.
Woohoo! Congratulations, Elon. You have won my champion, which means you go first in round one and get a crack at the half point. Answer this question right, and you will have one half a point more than your fellow competitors. Here is your half point question. Robert Patrick reprised his role as the T-1000 in this 1993 Schwarzenegger film.
I remember him reprising the role in Wayne's World, but I'm pretty sure that the only 93 Schwarzenegger film that this could relate to is The Last Action Hero.
Last Action Hero is correct. Nice job, Elon. That means you get to half point and go first in round one, a novel approach. Imagine a terrible world where movies are stripped of sight and sound. You don't have to imagine it because they are called movie novelizations. I'll read you a passage from an early chapter of the novelization of a big-budget summer movie, and you have to guess the movie. So, if you heard this passage from the novelization of a 1993 blockbuster, it was hot, and there were no trees to give Alan Grant shade, just the dust and rocks of the Montana Badlands, but he didn't care about the heat. You'd know that that was from the novelization of
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. That would get you 10 points. Now, if you need some more help, I can tell you a little bit more about the movie in question, but then a correct answer is only worth 5 points. Note that, like Jurassic Park, some movies still have movie novelizations, even though they were based on existing bestsellers. Going to kick off with Elon, our My Champion winner, for your first novelization passage. From 2004, Otto needed several extra arms. Certainly, the two he possessed were proving inadequate.
I believe this is from the Spider-Man movie with Dr. Octavius, so that's Spider-Man 2.
Absolutely. This one's for Vandy from the year 2013. An endless moment elapsed, stretching out interminably as a sentence to the Phantom Zone, until the baby finally breathed in and, for the first time in generations, the cries of a newborn infant echoed off the venerable walls.
Well, that sounds like it's got to be set on Krypton, so I'm going to guess that's Man of Steel.
From the year 2013, 10 points for Man of Steel. Next to Lynn, from the year 1981. He looked around at the two Peruvians, Baraka and Satipo, and he realized how little he really trusted them, and yet how much he was obliged to depend on them to get what he wanted out of this jungle.
Peruvian jungle, I think that would be Indiana Jones.
Full title, please. We need a title of a movie.
Indiana Jones in the... Oh, my mind's blanking. The Ark, the Hunt for the Ark. Oh, geez. Oh, no.
Elon, the official title there?
Well, Alfred Molina in Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh.
Yes, Alfred Molina just running the table on the first part of this game.
Point of order, though. Let's cut that Indiana Jones and from that title. That's, excuse me, that's horse
poopy. That's some like 2002 DVD edition nonsense. Next up for Elon from the year 2014. A young boy swam like a dolphin in the warm lagoon, enjoying what seemed like a perfect day in paradise until... A strange white wake entered the lagoon. The glassy blue water churned and swelled, stirred by the passage of some vast, unfathomable mass beneath the surface.
So, it's 2014, and I can think of a couple of movies right around that time that would have big monsters swimming through lagoons. And so I'm going to ask for a hint about this movie.
A U.S. reboot of a Japanese franchise.
So it's not Pacific Rim, it's Godzilla.
Yes, Gareth Edwards, Godzilla.
And I should point out that in that clip, it's actually not Godzilla. It's actually the submarine that's going to launch the nuclear missiles. It's a fake out from the first page.
Whoa. We already have seen the cover of the book, I assume.
Next question for Vandy from the year 2019. In the moments before the sun rose over the horizon, the African plain was hushed. No birds sang, no animals called. But as the sun began to break over the savannah, life began to stir.
Ooh. Blockbuster set in Africa. My first thought is going to be Black Panther.
Sorry, no on Black Panther. Lynn knows this one.
Is that The Lion King?
Yes, the 2019 remake of The Lion King. Lynn, this next one's for you from the year 2014. Koba looked up, his scarred face and milky eye marking him as a warrior. He had suffered much, and his suffering had made him savage. Caesar grunted. Move. That way. Koba led his troop forward.
I'm going to ask for the hint for this one, please.
The second movie in a rebooted sci-fi franchise.
14. Is that Alien?
Vandy knows this one.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes is the first movie in that rebooted franchise. The second one, Elon?
That would have to be Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
Yes.
The Rise, Dawn, Sun is coming up. Both movies, apes. Ooh.
And on that note, that'll take us into our first score break from Score Master Dan.
Can we turn that into some beat poetry, by the way?
I don't trust any movie that starts with Rise. You got your Rise of Cobra, right? Your Rise of Skywalker.
Uh-huh. Rise of the Machines.
Rise of the Machines.
Rise of the Guardians, where Alex Baldwin is Russian Santa Claus.
Which I heard was okay. But Rise of the Planet of the Apes was the exception. Yeah.
All right. Halfway through our first round of play, Lynn is still waiting to get on the board. She has no points yet, but she'll probably do it better in the second half of the round because she couldn't do worse. Vandy's got 10 points, and Elon is in the lead with 15 and a half.
All right, coming back into it, Elon, your next movie novelization comes from 2013. A fissure between two tectonic plates, a portal to another dimension. I was 15 when the first kaiju made landfall in San Francisco. A beast as big as a skyscraper.
Okay. So this one's Pacific Rim.
Yeah, we tried to get in your head a little with that one, but you got it. Pacific Rim. Over for Vandy from the year 2017. Humanity, which had once scoffed at the idea of extraterrestrial life, swiftly began playing host to dozen and eventually thousands of different species. It was time for Earth to say bon voyage to Alpha Space Station.
Whew. Could I get a hint?
It is a movie adaptation of a long-running French sci-fi comic book series.
Is that Valerian and the City of the Thousand Planets?
Yes, based on the Valerian and Laureline comics. And for Lynn, we're going back to the year 1993. I understand that nobody messes with your tools, and I assume you understand that nobody messes with us, or our boss, Mr. Scapelli. You know him? Know him, he had to laugh. I grew up with that bum. He ain't a plumber. He's a toxic waste dumper. He don't know a pipe from a crowbar.
I'm gonna guess that this is Mario Brothers? Super Mario Brothers.
They're brothers. They're plumbers.
Yes, with a self-correction, Super Mario Brothers, the title of that 1993 Bob Hoskins movie. One more novelization apiece. This one is for Elon from the year 1987. Hawkins put down the comic book and turned to the Indian. Hey, Billy, how many Marines does it take to eat a squirrel? Two. One to eat it and one to watch for cars.
Wow. So let's say we're in 1987. There's a Hawkins, there's a Billy, and there's a squirrel, and they're watching for cars. And Hawkins is what? And this is not Stand By Me. So maybe it's Stand By Me. He turned to the Yeah, I'll ask for a hint.
It's an R-rated sci-fi action flick.
R-rated sci-fi action flick from 1987. Hawkins, Squirrel, R-rated action flick. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to say... well, no. It's not 1987. Goonies?
Vandy, do you know this one?
Aliens.
In the same sphere of existence that is the original Predator, with Hawkins being the character played by Shane Black, who made up most of those terrible jokes he said right on set. And it shows. All right, Vandy, for you, we're in the year 2016. You know, Cagdar continued, the orcs came from another world, far away from ours. He lifted his hand and a reddish-orange ball appeared. The boy watched, interested now. He loved to see Cagdar work his magic.
I have an idea, but I think it's one of three possibilities. Oh, is it The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies?
No, Elon, you know this one?
This is Duncan Jones' sophomore slump, Warcraft.
This is Duncan Jones' third film.
Oh.
Are you forgetting Source Code?
I have friends that were in Source Code, and I forgot Source Code.
Oh, yes, because it was Toronto, but a pretty convincing Chicago in the for the backgrounds of that one. All right, and closing out round one is Lynn with a movie novelization from the year 2004. The black, formless shadow dropped out of the tree with no warning. Landing in a crouch, the large, insect-like beast unfolded itself and faced Jawa. The final imprinting on Jawa's senses were sharp teeth and gnashing jaws.
2004, black shadow. Jawa? Can I have a hint?
A movie bringing together characters from two franchises.
Franchises. Well, Jawa, that sounds like Star Wars, but I don't can't remember anything that brought Star Wars characters together with something else, so I'm going to pass.
Unfortunately, there is a character named Jawa in AVP Alien vs. Predator. That'll finish up round one. Next up, a score update from Dan, and on to round two.
And Taylor, point of order, the jokes in Predator were were actually pretty good. Like, he wrote good jokes on set. The terrible jokes are in the original draft of the script, which is why they're in the novelization. In the novelization, all the jokes are awful. But it's because Shane Black wrote better jokes when he was actually on set.
Justice for Shane Black.
After one round of play, it's time for the Swedish Chef's Human Hands score break. The Swedish Chef's Human Hands. Because you need that real human touch to murder sentient talking vegetables. Going into round two, Elon is in the lead with 25 points and the half point. Vanny's got 15. Lynn is in third place with 10, but that means she'll have to go first in round two.
That means also Lynn gets a chance to make up some extra ground with... the Threequalizer. Lynn, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers, and you will have three guesses to guess as many of those answers as you can. 10 points for each answer you match. Your Threequalizer question is... English actor Simon Pegg has been in the recent supporting cast of three major film franchises, which have grossed, respectively, $2.3 billion, $3.5 billion, and more than $10 billion. What are those three franchises?
Oh my gosh, Simon Pegg is totally my blind spot. I don't know. Mad Max. Kingsman. I don't know. Star Wars.
There you go. Star Wars is that $10 billion grocer. His small role as Unkar Plutt, the guy who sells one quarter portion to Rey.
Yes, I remember that now.
The other two franchises are Mission Impossible. He's been around since the third installment there. And the rebooted Kelvin Timeline Star Trek franchise. He's Scotty in there. All franchises with installments directed by J.J. Abrams. Before we get into round two, let's get to know our players a little bit better by learning more about their tastes in pop culture. Elon, with his landmark fourth appearance on the show as a contestant, breaking that record. Welcome back. Now, we don't often get into the realm of sports here on the show, but we have enjoyed learning about people's desired up-to-bat songs if they were in the MLB. What would yours be if given the opportunity?
So I thought about this question from the perspective of actually going up to bat and, you know, play a little bit of softball. And I always have a lot of nerves when I go up to bat. So I thought not a song that I want to amp up, but maybe a song that gets me into that Zen state where I maybe just bring a moment of peace. So I thought that Nick Drake's song Pink Moon would be the right kind of tone to set for a little moment of reflection and peace before a pitcher throws like a screaming 100 mile an hour fastball across my nose and I try to hit it. So yeah, it's really a practical, pragmatic choice, but also I think it's a pretty song. Also, the weird thing is a misheard lyric in the song. It says, Pink Moon is going to get you all, but I'd always heard it as Pink Moon is going to get you home. And I thought, you know, it's kind of a nice sentiment. Maybe yeah. I will hit a home run.
Your version makes more sense just syntactically
for a walk-up song.
Well, thank you, Elon. That answer has fundamentally changed the way I think about answering that question now. Now, Vandy, for you, what is your biggest sort of pet peeve in the world of pop culture? Something that bothers you when you're watching movies or TV?
It drives me crazy, and this happens in movies and in TV, when people are on the phone and they finish the conversation, they just hang up the phone. They never say goodbye. And I kind of understand it. It's a little more dramatic. Like if the president is on the phone with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and he says, order the nuclear strike, and then he just dramatically hangs up the phone. Sure, that is more dramatic, but it's just, that's just not the way basic human interaction works. The president would say, order the nuclear strike. Okay, see ya.
And Lynn, you know, summer isn't just blockbuster movie season, but it's also concert season. So what's the best live concert of music that you've ever attended?
Well, I've really been missing live music for the past year. So when I was asked this question, I thought, what was the best thing I went and saw? And that was the National in Columbus. It was June 2019, the last big show I saw before the pandemic. And it had everything. It had a guy passed out in the crowd that they had to stop the show for. I somehow broke my toe. It was just a really good one to go out on, I guess. But I'm glad it's all coming back.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lynn. Well, that's going to take us right into today's round two, entitled I Know What You All Did Last Summer. Summer blockbusters understandably focus on our heroes, the secret agents, cops, and superheroes that save the world. But that focus means that we're missing out on the supporting casts that make those stories go. In this game, we're going to try and give them some of the spotlight. So I'll give you the names of up to three actors from the supporting cast of a summer blockbuster from the last 25 years, along with their occupation, and you name the movie. So, if I told you that the supporting cast of a 1984 blockbuster included an accountant played by Rick Moranis, you'd know that the movie was...
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, that answer would get you 30 points. But if that name isn't quite enough, I can give you up to two more names, but then a correct answer is worth 10 fewer points for each name you hear. Going to kick it off with Lynn. From the year 1989, starring model Jerry Hall.
May I have the next person, please?
A reporter played by Robert Wool.
Going to need the next.
A district attorney played by Billy D. Williams.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Pass.
Vandy, you know this one?
Batman.
Tim Burton's Batman 89. Yes. Over to Vandy from the year 1996 with a Secretary of Defense played by James Rebhorn.
Independence Day?
Full 30 points with a quick answer from Vandy. Over to Elon from the year 1986, a Marine private played by Bill Paxton.
Hudson, sir. He's Hicks. Finally, this is Aliens.
Over back to Lynn, we're going to the year 1990, a movie with a banker played by Tony Goldwyn.
May I have the next person?
A police sergeant played by Stephen Root.
Ooh, Stephen Root. 1990. Can I have the next one?
A psychic played by Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, this is Ghost.
For 10 points, Ghost. For Vandy, from the year 2017, a general played by Robin Wright.
Next hint, please.
A queen played by Connie Nielsen.
Oh, that's Wonder Woman.
Patty Jenkins' first Wonder Woman film. And for Elon, from the year 1997, a pawn shop owner played by Tony Shalhoub.
I think I gotta go for it. I think I gotta say this is the first Men in Black.
A 30-point answer. Well done. Coming back to Lynn, a 1996 movie with an arms dealer played by Vanessa Redgrave.
Can I have the next one, please?
A field agent played by Kristen Scott Thomas.
I'm going to need the next one.
A disgraced ex-spy played by Jean Reno.
1996. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to pass.
Elon?
This is pre-Simon Pegg Mission Impossible.
The first of the Cruise Mission Impossible films, yes. Next up to Vandy from the year 2007, a computer technician played by Anthony Anderson.
I'll need the next hint.
A Secretary of Defense played by John Voight.
Okay, next hint.
An Air Force Sergeant played by Tyrese Gibson.
Oh, Deep Impact.
Elon?
This, I regret to say, is the Transformers.
Michael Bay's first Transformers film from summer 2007. Next up, over to Elon from the year 1998, a cameraman played by Hank Azaria.
They sent another Godzilla? It's Godzilla.
Yes, another Godzilla for Elon, but a different Godzilla. And that will take us into our next score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Absolutely. At this point, Lynn is trailing a little behind. She has 30 points. Vandy is a bit ahead with 65. Elon has moved into the lead, though. He's got 115 points and the half point. Still, only halfway through round two and is very much anybody's game.
Absolutely. Coming back to Lynn, we're going to the year 2015 with a divorcing business mom played by Judy Greer.
Can I have the next hint?
A geneticist played by B.D. Wong.
The next one?
A security chief played by Vincent D'Onofrio.
2015. I'm going to pass.
That 2015 movie is Jurassic World, the first of the new Jurassic World films. Over to Vandy from the year 1998. A NASA scientist played by Jason Isaacs.
Okay. I'm sorry, hint.
A colonel played by William Fichtner.
Oh, is this Contact?
William Fichtner is in Contact, but we are looking for 1998's Armageddon. All right, Elon, your next movie is from the year 2010 and has a professor played by Michael Caine.
I'm toying with, do I jump on it or do I not? And am I going to get the word right? Because who knows how many letters I'll put in here. I think this is Inception.
Yes. Interstellar was 2014, where Michael Caine also plays a professor. And over to Lynn from the year 2002, a division director played by Max von Sydow.
Can I have the hint, please?
An officer played by Neil McDonough.
The next one.
A DOJ officer played by Colin Farrell.
I can't pull it. Pass.
That movie is 2002's Minority Report. Tom Cruise, pre-crime. I love Minority Report. I will always stick up for it.
We should have seen that one coming.
Jesus.
How many points do I forfeit now, dude?
We're now in a whole integers, Elon.
All right. For Vandy, from the year 1994, a captain played by Joe Morton.
Next hint.
An annoying tourist played by Alan Ruck.
Okay, I need the next hint.
A detective played by Jeff Daniels.
Is this LA Confidential?
No, this is going to be Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock in Speed. And closing out round two with Elon, from the year 1991, an inventor played by Joe Morton.
I always think of this as a 1992 movie, so I might get it wrong, but I think this is Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Summer 91, T2. And that'll close out round two. Next up, the scores from Dan, the riddle, and on to the final round. Before we get to the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by next week's episode going online, and you could win the chance to win a future score break. Dan?
A long-delayed sequel with one more dimension, plus thousands more creatures to rack up the tension. A good outboard motor will start laying waste, though that opening cameo's a wee bit misplaced.
Know the answer there? Find the page for this episode at usaquizshow.com and show off that pop culture knowledge. Thanks for reading the riddle, Dan. So now give us the scores.
Absolutely. Going into round three, it's time for the Yippee-ki-yay Mr. Falcon score break. Yippee-ki-yay Mr. Falcon, for when you want to watch people being brutally gunned to death without offending your sensitive little ears. Right now, Elon is in the lead with 175 points and the half point. Vandy isn't that far behind. She's got 65 points. And Lynn is in third place with 30. But anything can happen in round three, and Lynn is going to get to go first.
Thank you, Dan. That means it's time for the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You will earn 10 points for each correct answer you provide. Today's categories are Killer Robot Arnold Schwarzenegger, Killer Robot Robert Patrick, Killer Robot Kristanna Loken, and Killer Robot Gabrielle Luna. Now, the topics may not be 100% clear from their names alone, so pick the thing that you think you're going to do the best on, or maybe keep one of the easier categories away from a fellow player. Lynn, in third place, you get first pick. Which of these categories would you like? Once again, they are Killer Robot Arnold Schwarzenegger, Killer Robot Robert Patrick, Killer Robot Kristanna Loken, and Killer Robot Gabrielle Luna.
I have no idea what these mean, but I'm going to go with Killer Robot Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, the first time Arnold Schwarzenegger played a killer robot was in the 1980s in the first Terminator movie. So you'll be answering questions about summer blockbusters of the 1980s. 90 seconds on the clock. The timer starts when I finish reading your first question. Lynn, are you ready?
I think so.
Later novels revealed the title character of this movie was a botanist on his home planet.
Botanist on his home planet. I don't know. Pass.
This cheer star plays Savik in Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan.
Woody Harrelson?
Christy Alley. Director Joe Dante had to fight to keep the Santa Claus speech in this 1984 horror comedy.
Horror comedy. A pass.
A recut version of this movie was released in 2006 as the Richard Donner Cut.
Oh, shoot. I can't pull it. I don't know. Pass.
In Rambo 3, the titular character fights Soviets in this country.
USSR.
Afghanistan. Matthew Broderick played Galaxian and Galaga for 2 months to prepare for this movie.
Pass.
Kathleen Turner voiced Jessica Rabbit, but this Traffic actress did the singing.
It's Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but you're looking for the actress. Oh, I don't know. Pass.
This Howard the Duck actress is the top-billed woman in 1984's Red Dawn.
Oh my gosh, I can see her. Yep. I'm terrible at this.
That is Leah Thompson, starring in Red Dawn.
Leah Thompson, that's right.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Lynn report.
This was a tough one, because I could tell Lynn had a bunch of these right on the tip of her tongue. She knew what she was doing, but couldn't quite get out in time. The stress of this gets to a lot of folks. Let's do the passes real quick. E.T. was revealed to be a botanist on his home planet in the novelizations that came afterwards. Director Joe Dante had to fight to keep the Santa Claus speech in Gremlins. The studio wanted to cut it out because they thought it was too gory and all the murders from the Gremlins weren't. I don't know. The movie that was re-released in 2006 with the Richard Donner cut was Superman 2, which makes marginally more sense. Like, he doesn't just, like, throw his thing to put them in the Phantom Zone. Matthew Broderick played Galaxian and Galaga for 2 months to prepare for War Games. And Amy Irving was the singing voice of Jessica Rabbit. So Lynn put up a good struggle, but unfortunately didn't get any right in that lightning round. So she stays at 30 points. It's now up to Vandy to take down Elon. She's going to need to get 12 correct in order to move into first place. It's a tall order, but it certainly has been done. We know you can do it.
All right, Vandy, your remaining category choices are Killer Robot Robert Patrick, Killer Robot Kristanna Loken, and Killer Robot Gabrielle Luna.
Okay, well, based on the category that Lynn got, I think I've figured out the pattern here. So I'm going to throw my chances with Killer Robot Robert Patrick.
And which decade do you think you're going to be arriving in here, Vandy?
I hope it's the 90s.
Absolutely. With his role in T2, this is going to put us in summer blockbusters of the 1990s. 90 seconds on the clock. Vandy, are you ready?
I am ready.
Sylvester Stallone and Michael Rooker are in Guardians of the Galaxy movies and this 1993 flick.
Judge Dredd.
Cliffhanger. The premiere of this 1996 movie was held in the recreation yard of Alcatraz.
The Rock.
In 1996's Twister, this Saw actor is just in meteorology for fame and money.
Bill Paxton.
Cary Elwes. The Philip K. Dick story, We Can Remember It For You Wholesale, was made into this 1990 flick.
Total Recall.
Last Action Hero posits that this Shakespeare character was the first action hero.
Hamlet.
The cast of this 1997 movie includes Steve Buscemi, Danny Trejo, and John Malkovich.
Armageddon?
Con Air. There's Something About Mary features this NFL quarterback playing himself.
Pass.
In Air Force One, this Damages actress is the vice president.
Rene Russo.
Glenn Close. Halle Berry plays Miss Sharon Stone in this 1994 family hit.
Hot Shots.
The Flintstones. In Apollo 13, Tom Hanks plays this astronaut.
Lovell.
This 1994 James Cameron thriller was based off the French film La Totale. True Lies, the answer there at the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Vandy report.
Absolutely. So we just have one pass. The quarterback that played himself in There's Something About Mary is Brett Favre. So Vandy got 4 correct answers. Not bad. That brings her to 105 points. Right now, Elon is still in lead with 175 points and the half point. So he's already in first place. He's going to have to do better than -7 in order to hold on to his lead. We think you can do it. But this point, Elon, we want you to be playing for the record books. Our record is 15 correct answers in the lightning round. Let's see if you can match that.
All right. Your category choices are Killer Robot Kristanna Loken and Killer Robot Gabrielle Luna.
With -7 is a possibility, given how many deductions I think Dave's going to apply for my terrible puns and jokes. But I think if I'm going to stay above that, I'm going to have to go with the 2000s, or I hope, with Killer Robot Kristanna Loken.
Yes, the robot in Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. That's going to give you the first decade of the century, summer blockbusters from the 2000s. 90 seconds on the clock. Elon, are you ready?
I'm ready.
The Omega Man and The Last Man on Earth were based on the same novel as this 2007 Will Smith hit.
I Am Legend.
The script for this 2005 hit was Simon Kinberg's thesis for his MFA.
2005. The X-Men The Last Stand?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. He directed Tom Cruise in the 2005 version of War of the Worlds.
Steven Spielberg.
Kevin Spacey took on this role in 2006's Superman Returns.
Lex Luthor.
In one of his last roles, Charlton Heston voiced a Mastiff in this 2001 family movie.
Pass.
He reprised his title role in Hellboy 2, The Golden Army.
Ron Perlman.
Angelina Jolie teaches James McAvoy to bend bullets in this 2008 movie.
Wanted.
He plays the titular role in 2008's Hancock.
Will Smith.
Mark Wahlberg took on the Michael Caine role in this 2003 remake.
Planet of... No, pass.
In 2002, Sum of All Fears, he played Jack Ryan.
All Fears was Ben Affleck.
This Star Trek Discovery actor is the evil Colonel Tavington in The Patriot.
Once again, Jason Isaacs.
Lucy Liu plays a kidnapped princess in this Wild West set movie.
Wild Wild West?
Shanghai Noon. In The Perfect Storm, a confluence of events threatens this boat.
Pass.
Dennis Quaid plays a paleoclimatologist in this 2004 disaster flick.
2012? No.
Right director, tomorrow, yeah. Day After Tomorrow is Dennis Quaid in that one. All right, Dan, let's hear the Elon report.
Let's go through the passes first. Charlton Heston voiced a Mastiff in Cats and Dogs in one of his last roles. That is no way for a film legend to go out, folks. Mark Wahlberg took on the Michael Caine role in The Italian Job, the only movie we can imagine Mark Wahlberg taking on the Michael Caine role. And the ship that is threatened by a confluence of events in The Perfect Storm is the Andrea Gale. So Elon had a grand total of 8 correct answers. That means our final scores are Lynn with 30, Vandy with 105, and our winner with 255 points and the half point, it's Elon!
Elon!
Woo! Yay! All right, Elon. Congratulations, Elon, another victory. But that does mean it is time to say goodbye to our players, to all three of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for playing with us today. Great, great episode. We hope to see you back again sometime. In the meantime, though, Lynn, where can our listeners find more of you? Anything to plug?
I'm on Instagram at LynnWarner81, where I generally post about the Golden Girls and some knitting projects.
Fantastic. And Vandy, any place online our listeners should look for you?
I occasionally post stray witticisms at my Twitter feed at Red Velvet Cakes.
I love that Twitter handle. Fantastic. And Elon, our big winner for today. Congratulations again. Anything you would like to plug, get out there in the ears and eyes of our listeners.
Fiona King Foster's debut novel, The Captive, dropped a couple of months ago. It's fantastic. It's kind of a gritty Western noir set a little bit in the future. So there's some social stuff. I loved it so much. The link is in the show notes, and I would love if more people discover it, too.
Thank you, Elon. And that will wrap it up for this week. Listeners, be sure to join us next week for the start of season 4 with a brand new crop of 27 contestants battling it out for the next grand championship. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Hey, listeners, remember the riddle that Dan read before the lightning round? If you know the answer, find the link in your show notes to submit your answer, or find the page for this episode on our website, usaquizshow.com. While you're there, check out all our past episodes, detailed show notes, old brackets, and links to subscribe to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show wherever you get your podcasts.
We're also always talking more about the things we covered on this episode and past episodes on Instagram and Twitter. We're at USA Quiz Show on both.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is produced
in a world
with our host, Taylor Cole, our Quizmaster, Scoremaster, Dan Cassino, and Production Master, me, David T. Cole.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next week for season 4.
Woo!
the rise, dawn, sun is coming up. Both movies, apes. Ooh.
Order the nuclear strike. Okay, see ya.